Over here at Willow Creek, a little camp called Willow Creek Bible Camp, there was a junior sitting back, halfway back in the rows, hanging out with some friends, listening to Bruce Wilkinson teach. And he was chasing down this subject of, are you satisfied with your life? Do you really experience what God intends for you to have, or are you just going through the motions? And this junior kind of thought he had his life mapped out ahead of him. He was looking forward to his senior year. He thought he was going to be an athletic star. and he was looking forward to pursuing electrical engineering. It was a plan that had been apart for 4 years. And he sat there listening to this teaching. God began to get hold of this guy's heart in a different way. And he really realized he wasn't where he wanted to be. And Bruce gave a challenge that night. Said, if you want to be in a different place, you got to do something different. And asked the students to stand. And then after they stood, he says, now here's what you stood to. He wouldn't tell you what you were supposed to do that night. After you stood, he then says, here's the commitment you just made. He says, you're going to spend a half hour a day in the Word and a half hour a day in prayer for the rest of this week to meet with the God you want blessing your life. And let's see what happens. And he actually told everybody, he says, well, hey, look around and hold each other accountable. Ask them how your knees are. Forty years later, my life has never been the same. I went back into my senior year, a guy who had been pretty much living too worldly for the Christian and too Christian for the world, and began to find a different direction in life. God got hold of me. I began to understand that there is a path of blessing that God has for His people. And if we will walk in the path, there is a grace that He's willing to pour out on us. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to understand because we look at the idea and say, hey, it's all of grace. Therefore, it doesn't matter how I live my life because God just graces. Wrong. There is a grace, and there's nothing that we can do to deserve the grace that God pours out on us. And yet God says, if you'll line up here, I'm handing out grace in this place. We don't earn it by getting there. It's just the well that He said, this is where it is, show up. So I was reading this last week in the Old Testament and came across a passage that really brought this back to my heart and mind. And as it just stayed with me all week, I took it from God to say, okay, this is where we want to go. And so what I want to do this morning is something just a little different than sometimes I do, or maybe it's a little different, but I just want to take you through this process of how when you take the time in the Word, God can do something in your life. And I want to show you how I do that and encourage you into this process of having that God time that God will bless in your life, because God really does want to bless your life. He has a plan for you. And if you will pursue Him, He will meet you where you are. And it doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. So turn me, if you would, to the book of Ezra. Not a book a lot of people are real familiar with. Just back there before the book of Psalms. Ezra was born in captivity, a country now known as Iraq. Born in, living in Babylon. But he has an interesting life, and we're not going to be able to go through all the details, but what I'm going to do is read through the story, and then you get to go work it out, meditate on it some more this week. There's a lot more here than I'm going to tell you. I'm basically going to teach one verse, but I'm going to introduce you to a few others. It says in Ezra chapter 7, it says, now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, there went up Ezra, son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abuchia, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. Don't you love those stories in the Bible? I'm here to tell you, God knows who you are. He knows where you came from. He knows where He wants you going. And there's a plan for your life. Ezra was a descendant of the high priest of Israel. And it says, "And this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe, skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all he requested, because of the hand of the Lord was upon him." Isn't that what you want? That God would grant you all you request? That's quite a thought, isn't it? "The hand of the Lord is upon him," it says. "And some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the gatekeepers and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. And he came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. For on the first of the first month he began to go up from Babylon. And on the first of the 5th month he came to Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was on him." So he's coming now to Jerusalem. He's traveled all the way from Babylon, Iraq, to Jerusalem, Israel. Took 4 months' journey. He says, but he got there, he says, because the hand of God was upon him. And most believers that I meet would love to say, boy, I know God's with me, but I would just like to see the hand of God on me. I'd like to know what it was like to know that I know that God's flowing through me, that His blessing is on me. So how did this guy get here? How do you get to this spot where it says there in verse 6, the hand of God was on him, and God granted him what he requested? Look at verse 10. Four. Here's the key to this whole passage. And friends, when you're reading through your Bible, you're reading through the stories, you have to take the time to say, okay, where is this story going? Because whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. All right, Romans 15:4. It says, every story in the Bible has a lesson for you. So don't just read the story, learn from the story. It says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. The hand of God was on him. Why? For Ezra had set his heart to study, to practice, and to teach the law of the Lord. Think about this, friends. The set of your heart determines the support of God's hand. Where your heart is going to determine how much grace, how much blessing God can pour out into your life. You remember David being selected, right? He had the 7 older brothers or 8 older brothers. They didn't even think of David to call him in to be selected. But God thought of David. Because it says what? God didn't look at outward appearances. What did God look at? He looked at the heart. Friends, that can be an exciting thing, and that can be a scary thing, can't it? God looks at our hearts. And it's interesting. So David gets anointed to be king. His grandson, named Rehoboam. Does that ring a bell? That's where the kingdom divided just some 70 years later. And it says Rehoboam, it says in the commentary on Rehoboam, did not set his heart to please the Lord. He was still doing religious stuff. He was still in Jerusalem. He was still keeping things at the temple, but he didn't set his heart. Friends, the set of your heart determines the support of God's hand. Your heart can actually be opening the valve of God's blessing in your life or closing it. All right? And you know this verse, but I'd like you to read it together with me in 2 Chronicles 16:9. This also was said of Asa, a man who'd been experiencing great blessing before he decided that he was the blessed person. So now I'll just do life the way I think it ought to be done. And he tanks the rest of his life. It's kind of a sad story. But in the middle of a correction, there is this promise given by a prophet to Asa. And here it is. Would you read it with me? For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. So that tail end of that verse, a lot of times people don't think about. But it's on there this morning because I want to remind you. Here's a man who had been walking with God. Here's the promise of God, that God looks for people to bless. And Asa chose to be foolish. And the sad thing is you get a chance to read Asa's story sometime and to see at that moment of correction, what could Asa have done? He could have turned his heart back, right? Hey, there's the promise, God. I just need to get back to being wholehearted. No, he threw that prophet in prison. And he died walking away from God. You can be a person who's been blessed and not end your life being blessed. You can be a person who's been cursed and end your life being blessed. It's the set of your heart. And it says here, there's a key, this whole 10th verse, and so I just want to open it up to us, that God longs to support the person who longs for God. The person who has a heart for God. It says Ezra set his heart to study the law of God and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Set your heart to study. Now, I feel funny sometimes when I talk about some of the verses of Scripture because it's like, okay, wait a minute. We're talking about some of the people who go, well, James, I'm still trying to get into reading my Bible. Well, good. My goal is not to have you read your Bible. My goal is to have you study your Bible. My goal is not that you just would have information in your head, but you'd have an understanding in your heart. And so you have to set your heart to study the Bible. You have to say, I will discover what this book is about. You know, if you committed to reading, you know, we've got different reading plans back there. Some of you struggle with this, but friends, you know, 5 minutes a day and you'll read through your New Testament. Have you been through it? Have you taken the time to say, hey, I'm going after this. I will know what the book that I say I believe, I will know what it says. Set your heart to study. Because he says here, studying the Bible is essential to discovering God's wisdom. He says he set his heart to study and to practice and to teach. The idea is that if you don't study, you won't discern. It's interesting, some people have put this rather bluntly. A.W. Pink, a great pastor, commentator, said this. He says, no verse of Scripture yields its meaning to lazy people. Kind of blunt, isn't it? It's this idea of saying, hey, you know what? God wants to bless you, but we do things that hinder the blessing, don't we? See, it's not that we earn the blessing. The blessing is free. It's given by grace. But you have to choose to be there. It's just—it's like my house growing up. I mean, 5 brothers and sisters, always plenty of food. All right? You didn't have to, well, you kind of had to earn it. You had to do your chores. But, you know, when you showed up at dinner time, you were fed. But us boys sometimes would be out in the woods out there in Gaski or down in the river. And you come back up and if you weren't there at dinner time, somebody else ate your food. I'm here to tell you, it did not hang around, okay? The grace was there, but you had to come to the place of grace. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Okay? And so it's not that I didn't earn it by showing up. I just put myself in a place. And so I want to tell you that if you will put yourself into the Word, you'll find yourself in a spot where the grace of God can open up and pour over your life. What do I got here in my hand? Okay. See, hose bib, faucet, spigot, a valve. To point of that is that when you put one of these on the top of a well, it allows you to control the flow. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and He is a well of living water springing up to eternal life. There is no limit to the Holy Spirit in your life, except you. You choose what you're going to experience by your walking it out into His grace, by your responding to His call. And so I want to encourage you to read, but it is a volitional choice. That's what I want you to notice. Here's Ezra. He's in captivity. His country is in devastation. But what's he do? He sets his heart to study. Because he's got a dream. Did you see it? He wants to teach in Israel. Israel, as he would understand it, did not exist. They were in captivity. But he has a dream. He has a vision. He wants to go back and he wants to establish the teaching in Israel. During his lifetime, Cyrus had allowed the Jews to begin to return to Israel from captivity. And he had a dream. So he began to what? He began to prepare himself. You want to be used of God. You want to be stepping into the blessing of God. You have to become a person who will say, I'll do what I need to do to be ready for that day when God says, hey, this is it. See, a lot of people want the shine, but a lot of people aren't willing to do the workout to get there. There's a disciplined life that has to be happened. Some of you are into sports, and I just can't imagine the stupidity that I continue watching happen. These athletes making millions and millions of dollars. You think that's the goal of their life. They reach the peak of their thing. They don't know how to drive their car well enough to not get themselves arrested. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's a friend of mine texted me yesterday. He says, why don't they just drive and take taxi rides? They can afford it. But if you don't prepare your heart, you'll crash. See, that's the issue. This world is testing you, and even blessing, friends, blessing of God will test you to see what's going on in your heart. Be a person who searches. We want to be people who study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this. Read it with me. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Some of you remember the King James says, study to show yourself approved. Be diligent. You don't get to be a conditioned athlete without a workout. You will not get to be a conditioned believer who understands the Word without working at it. You have to set your heart to study the Word. So I want to encourage you. Do you have your God time? Do you have that time set aside that nothing will move you off of other than hospitalization? It says, this is where I meet with God. You know, remember what I've said? It's not the rule of the Bible. It's the preacher's crazy idea. No Bible, no breakfast. There is no important word. There is no more important word for you than His Word. Stay on it. Don't get onto your Facebook account before you've got face-to-face with God. Let's get after it with Him. If you want to see a change in your heart, you're going to have to do something different about it, because this world is seducing you. This world is saturating you. And when you have a child that comes to the table and they're not hungry, you know one of two things. They're sick or they've been eating someplace else. I'm here to tell you, I find so many believers are telling me, James, I really don't like reading the Word. I really don't hunger for the Word. I'm here to tell you, you're sick or you're eating someplace else. And this is the living Word of God. Saturate yourself. But you got to set your heart, and that means sometimes you got to prune off something else to go after what God has for you. Friends, you got to get into your Bible to understand it, not just to read it. Hey, I read my Bible today. Great! What does it mean? What did you get out of it? One of the things I encourage you to do is to journal. I know some of you go, oh, James, really? Yeah. Didn't do it for years, but it's helped me take this word and put it into my life. And so that's why I buy you guys these very expensive journals. All right? So if you can't afford one, I got one on the back there, that you begin to say, hey, I read this in the Word, then write it down. Say, I heard something from God, write it down. Aren't you glad the guys who heard from God wrote it down in the past? Amen. So you got something. If God speaks to you from His Word, write it down. That's how you ended up with this sermon. What else does he say? He says, pursue this heart of understanding. Okay, pursue that you become a person of understanding. He said to study, but the point of study is what? It's to understand. That's where James is reading into the text, but I think it's very consistent with what he's saying. I study to what? To understand. Okay. And what? To practice. He says, set his heart to study the law of God and to practice. Now, and I find many people, they will study a lot of different things. Some of you really like reading novels. Some of you really like playing video games. Some of you really like listening to music. There's nothing wrong with some of that. But if any of that supplants the priority of the Word in your life, it's an idol. And it needs to go away. Friends, we need to deal with this issue. So we need to have this heart that wants to understand. But he didn't just want to understand it. He wanted to practice it. What? You just got to study so you can teach it, right? Study to teach. No, you study to practice. There is no point in preaching if you're not practicing. Parents? Hello? Parents? True? Was that the most frustrating thing growing up, was seeing the inconsistencies in your parents? Don't do that to your own children. Grandparents, are you still being transformed that your kids can look at your life and go, they're still growing? There's a life of practice that God calls. So you have to set your heart not just to study, but you set your heart to practice. It's one thing to know the play. It's another thing to be able to work the play, all right? Obedience to the Bible must be pursued to be experienced. Why would he tell us this? God says, you need to go after it this way. This is the person I'm blessing, is the person who says, I want to do that. I want to do that. Many people know, but they do not grow because they don't go anywhere with what they know. Yeah? You with me? Did I lose somebody on that? Okay. Many people know, but they don't grow because they don't go anywhere with what they know. It's just, I know. You got fat heads, skinny souls. Let's go after it. Let's exercise, practice. He committed himself to practice. Every athlete knows that, you know what happens? You play like you practice. Oh, man. I was not the nicest coach when I coached, but I did understand this after being the athlete, that if you're going to play with me, then you are going to practice harder than you ever want to practice. That's a choice that you have to push. You know, my boy even took me, well, he didn't take me aside. He talked to me on the way home from school. He says, hey, Dad, I got something to tell you, and you don't want to hear it. See, I taught my sons how to talk to me about stuff I didn't want to hear about. And he says, some of these kids on this team don't like you. I said, that's good. I'm not doing this to get them to like me. I'm doing this to teach them how to win. And they don't know how to win. They think they know how to win, but they don't know how to win. But when we get to the end of the season, they'll be winners if we do what we said we're going to do. But they may not be my friends. Parents, some of you are trying to be your child's friend. I'm here to tell you that is not the assignment in the book. You are here to disciple your children. You're here to invite them into obedience, all right? Obedience to the Bible must be pursued if it's going to be experienced. And you need to invite your children into that pursuit of the Word by being a person who pursues it in front of them. One of our gals in the church that's now gone home to glory was talking to me, and she'd been given a notice that she was terminally ill. And one of the things that was on her hearts was the fact that she wasn't going to see her grandchildren grow up. she was talking about it. She says, you know, I was really bothered about this, and so I was kind of preaching at my granddaughter on the phone. And says, you know, you're going to have to get into the Word. She says, Grandma, don't you think I know that? And the daughter's wasn't following Jesus, but the granddaughter had been with Grandma. She says, I watched you every morning. Somebody's watching you. Are you practicing what you're preaching, friends? There's something for us to practice. And your response to truth determines your maturity. It's not your awareness of truth. Man, when I was an athlete, there was a lot of stuff I understood. I just couldn't get my body to do it. Particularly on the football field. Much different on a wrestling match, but on the football field, I couldn't get the brain and the body coordinated enough to... I understood it. I just couldn't get it done. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you committed to being a person who gets it done? He says, I'm going to go after this. I'm going to practice this. James, that subtle teacher of Scripture, who I was named after, said what in James 4:17? I always like his kindness. Read it. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it's sin. What? He says, if you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do what you know, you're sinning. Wait. We're just talking about knowledge here. Yep. God holds you accountable for what we know. Is that a scary thought? Friends, are you committed to saying, you know, I can't wait to go practice something. When you walk out of here, is the concern about what's for lunch and how long is the line? Or is it, what am I going to do with what God told me today? And how can I use this to transform my family or to transform my marriage or to change the way I operate in the workplace? The sins of omission, I think, are far greater than the sins of commission, particularly for the believer. Have you made a commitment to obey your Bible? Why is this so critical? Because this is the living Word of God. Amen. This is a living Word of God. And you guys will say yes to me on that, but do we understand that? Then when I hear it speak, when I read it, I understand that's Him talking. And what I do in response to Him talking is my relationship with Him. This is why it's all about, friends. This isn't about earning. It's about obeying because I'm responding to the one who's talking to me. And I don't know about you, but I found that when I responded well, when my parent was talking to me, we had a different relationship than when I didn't respond well. Oh, we still had a relationship. It just depended on what room in the house we were in. See, because, you know, you could be spending time in the living room and you could be enjoying that relationship, but then we spent some time outside in that woodshed. I never enjoyed that trip. I was still in a relationship. Are you with me? See, I'm not talking about losing your relationship with God. I'm talking about what kind of relationship do you got? Is He coming alongside like this? Or is He patting you on the back saying, let's go for it, let's go? Friends, obedience to the Bible is intentional, not accidental. And if every day when you open this up, if you don't walk away saying, I have made a choice to do something that it said, you're not growing. You need to make that intentional choice. That, again, is one of the reasons why I journal. Because at the bottom of my journal, before I leave for the day, I want to write down, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Reading one here recently. I'll just look one up here for you. 1 Peter 1:13 is the one that stood out to me during my devotional reading. It says, hey, gird your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I wrote down a verse out of my reading, right? And then I'm going through, what does it say? Hey, this is about God. Grace is coming. I do this off these questions. I mean, you know, we got those Bible bookmarks back there that you can use for getting the right questions. It says, gird your mind for action. So that was a thought. I circled that. To fix your hope on grace, not on yourself, but on God's grace. And then I wrote to myself, hey, I'm encouraged not to trust myself, but to look to His grace. I believe that sufficient grace has been given to me by Him or will be given to me. And the bottom, I said, so keep sober in spirit for the purpose of prayer. So write that down, circle prayer. Okay, am I going to pray this through? And I'm going to gird my mind for action. Okay, that's just my thought for the day. And I get to the end of the day, a lot of times I'll look back at my journal and say, hey, how'd you do? Did you move on this? See, because sometimes you get done, and I know it's never, ever happened to you, but you can get done with your Bible reading. You come back to your Bible reading the next day, and you go, where was I reading? Did I read this already? You know what I'm talking about? You're not girding your mind for action if you don't understand, hey, I got that yesterday. I can't wait. This is where I'm going today. Friends, pursue the path of obedience. Pursue it. It's a choice. T.L. Moody said that God did not give us the scripture to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And A.W. Tozer was a little blunter than that. He said, theological truth is useless unless it's obeyed. The purpose behind all doctrine is moral action. We make a choice, friends. What do you do with what you know determines how much you grow. Let's grow. Let's go after it. That's what Jesus said again and again, isn't it? Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, he will be like what? The one who built his house upon a rock. I mean, you guys know that story. You learned it next door 40 years ago, some of you. That's right. The rains come. Have any of you guys hit the storm yet? You found out where you built your house, didn't you? Because it'll fall if it's not built on the word. But if you build on what he says, if you hear my words and act upon it, you're on the rock. It doesn't mean the storm won't come, but you'll be on the rock. And then what does Ezra say? He set his heart to study the law. He set his heart to practice, to obey the law. And he did something else, and a lot of you aren't going to like this one, so that's going to be fun. Let's talk about it. He set his heart to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. As soon as you start talking about teach, somebody goes, no, I am not a teacher. I'm here to tell you, you are teaching. Only question is what? Only question is what? You're teaching. You're teaching every single day. Your children are watching you. Some of you grew up and you said, I am never going to say that to my children. Oh, yeah. And you heard your mother's voice coming right out with that same tone. Channeling. That's scary. Right? We learn what we live with. You are teaching. The question is what? You are teaching your coworkers. This is how a Christian handles business. This is how a Christian handles this kind of situation. This is how a Christian handles his finances. Friends, we are teaching people around us all the time. Only question is, what are we teaching? So Ezra says, hey, I'm going to commit to teach his statutes. I'm going to commit to teach his ordinances. I'm not going to teach my opinions. Friends, everybody's got an opinion. If I don't have an opinion, you ask me about a subject, I can develop an opinion in less than 30 seconds. It may not be a wise opinion, but I make decisions quick sometimes, foolishly sometimes. But if I come to the Word of God, if I study the Word of God, if I commit to practice the Word of God, then I got something to build on. And so we're to set your heart to teach. Have you set your heart to say, I want to be one who communicates the truth? Not just who understands it, not just who obeys it. See, this is a whole nother level, all right? But I want to be one who transfers it. Isn't that why we're sending missionaries overseas? That's why we've got Ed and Dale in Ghana, because we don't want them to say, oh, this is great, I'm going to go have my devotions in Ghana. No, we want them to transfer that. We want multiple tribes to be receiving the gospel in their own language so they can understand it. But friends, have you ever noticed there's some tribes in Josephine County that don't understand the Word of God? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about Tequila. There's some people here, they don't understand this, but you can be a teacher. And so teaching the Bible to others, it's best achieved by an example. Ezra said, I'm going to do this. I've set my heart up to do this. I'm going to go after this. But he made that commitment. And what I'm asking you is, have you made the commitment to be a communicator? To say, I'm going to do this. We were sharing next door and with some of the people just new in the family. And Wayne was talking about this. I thought it was interesting. I didn't get his permission. Sorry, Wayne. And but they came to Wayne. He was teaching there at Grants Pass High School. And he said, would you teach the Bible as literature? What a great opportunity. But he had to set his heart to be prepared for that moment. If he wasn't a man of the word, and they says, hey, would you like to teach the Bible as literature? Oh, no, I don't know. Nothing about that. No. But a man who set his heart, a man who studied it out, he's like, oh, I could probably adjust to that as a class. One of your greatest blessings, wasn't it, Wayne? To be able to teach the word of God. But you have to be a person, am I committed to where you're working? Am I committed to communicating what the word says about life? Not that you come in spouting as a preacher, but you come in living as a practicer. Okay. Most people are not really interested in preaching. That's why we still got some seats in here today. Isn't that right? There are people avoiding this place on purpose. But they can't avoid you because they have to work with you. In fact, God appointed you to that place that you've prayed to get out of. Because God wants you there to reach somebody. Listen, when you get it, you share it. James says, prove yourselves what? Doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude yourselves. We can delude ourselves. I sure can. Scary thing. You study this Bible, study this Bible, study it. That means I'm doing it, right? Because I'm in it every day. That surely means I'm the most obedient person on the planet. No, it don't. What are you going to do with it? But the one who abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, James says, this one will be what? Blessed in what he does. Oh, friends, every page of this book has got blessings for you. Every page. I mean, some of it's biographical sketches. Some of it's, yes, even things like we looked at today. The listing of a person's heritage. My friends, you realize you are someplace in the point of the story in somebody's life. You're their child, their grandchild, their parent, their great-grandparent. Can they look to you and say, they set their heart. They set their heart. Obedience to the Bible is the best instruction from the Bible. When the author of Hebrews was writing to people who were wandering from the faith, he said something very interesting in Hebrews chapter 5. He said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. What does that mean? There is a point in your life where you ought to know and be able to communicate the word. It doesn't mean you're all gifted teachers. It doesn't mean we're sending you all to Sunday school. What it means is that you're a person who ought to be communicating it. And if you check it out there at the end of Hebrews 5, he says, but you've become dull of hearing. And if need for someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the Word of God. Friends, I am teaching you today one of the most elementary principles of the Word of God. Is get into it. Study it. Do it. Teach it. That is basic stuff. So get this and go with it. Because we can't go anywhere if we don't get the beginning. But will you commit yourself to being a teacher? You know, in 1966, there's a couple of retired ladies teaching the Good News Club over here in Gaskey Bible Church. There's a couple of other retired ladies, or actually some of them were still moms with kids at home, and they'd pull into that school with their cars, and kids, we'd pack into these cars, no seatbelts, pack into the cars, and they'd drag us down to the church, and we'd get out, and we'd sit in there, and they'd teach us Bible stories. Good old flannelgraph, the whole nine yards. But somebody teaching the word reached my soul. And you're experiencing the benefit of somebody else's teaching. Do you understand that? Not just my teaching, but somebody else's teaching. Friends, we are in a chain of life, and I want you to understand that as you take on this responsibility, there's something that God can do that's going to go beyond that. And so it was 10 years later that I spoke about being up here at a Bible camp. And I had been through a journey. Oh, I was raised in a Christian home, but I made a lot of foolish mistakes. I kind of wonder if those teachers are wondering, hearing about how many times James had been expelled from school. Going, that kid said he's following Jesus, but he's having trouble. Made a lot of foolish choices. Doesn't matter what you've been, matters where you're going. Ezra had set his heart to study, to practice, to teach. But did you notice? He had a goal to teach in Israel. But where did he live? Babylon. He had a dream. You got a dream? Had a dream of how God's going to use you in some way in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace? Do you got a dream? Have you given up on that because somebody else's bad behavior? That God can still do something beyond what you can imagine if you'll walk it out with Him. If you'll set your heart to go after it with Him. I can remember sitting there in church, I think I was about 12 years old, a certain man by the name of Russ Gibson. Some of you know him. Russ Gibson was preaching in our church that Sunday. I still remember to this day. He said, less than 0.5% of Japan is Christian. And I said, God, I'll go. 1978, I was in Japan with Russ Gibson. I don't know how God does that kind of stuff. But if you set your heart to go after it with God, God will fulfill your dreams. Far better than you could ever sketch out on your own. You trust Him and He will do something beyond what you can imagine. God has a place for you to impact. I'm here to tell you, He's got a place for you to impact. That's why you're on the planet. If He didn't still have a plan for you, He'd have took you out. All right? You're here. If you got a pulse, God's got a plan, right? So don't give up because you've been through or because of what you've done or what somebody else has done. God's got a plan for you. Don't quit. Anything but your flesh. Anything but your life. You go after it with God, and God will bless your life because He is a blessing God. True? Friends, if you pursue influencing others by the word with an example and exhortation, God is going to enrich your life. I am really glad I didn't grow up to be an electrical engineer. I was wired for it, but I wasn't wired for it, if you know what I mean. God had a plan. It was different than mine. And some of you are wrestling with that. It's different. It's not working the way you thought it was going to according to the plan. No, no, no. He's got a better plan. Pursue Him from the heart. Jesus said this in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who hears my word and believes on Him who sent me has eternal life. It does not come into judgment, but it's passed out of death into life. If you've never believed on Christ this morning, I'm telling you, this is a choice you need to make. Not just to know Him, but to obey Him. Say, yes, Lord, I'll follow You. I got some of you who've already told me you're going to do that here 2 weeks down here at the river. That's one of the things He said. He says, you follow Me? He says, be baptized. He says, I'm commanded to make disciples. Be baptized. Parents, have you discipled your children to know the choices that they're to make if they're following Christ? Be baptized. That's a step of obedience. Friends, God blesses those who study, those who practice, and those who teach His word. Because it's His life. Let's pray. Father, would You give us a heart to pursue understanding? Would You give us a heart to obey?